Hey, you're listening to episode 3 of the Intentional Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Angela Barnard. This is a show all about helping you intentionally design your life using the power of your mind, faith, and energy. And on this episode, we are waiting to dive deeper into energy, but we are diving deeper, literally, into dealing with anxiety and fear. And I'm going to share a story with you on how I recently experienced a lot of anxiety and fear and how I had to like manage my mind through that. And I got some really good tips with you, but know that I like to give a lot of details with the story. So bear with me. I want you to picture in your mind what was really happening there. And then as you go through this episode towards the end, there's a lot of great wisdom that you can even take further to apply in your life in any situation, even if you're not diving in the ocean with sharks. Okay. So bear with me, this is good stuff, and I wish I would have learned this sooner. Here we go. All right, so I got this podcast topic from my husband, actually, because he has been obsessed with reading The Untethered Soul. It's by Michael Singer. It's an older book, and he also wrote The Surrender Experiment. So Michael Singer is known for really teaching on that voice in your mind that we all have, right? That has the chatter, that has an opinion, you know, almost like you're the observer and you can see how your voice in your mind always has something to say, right? So he kind of describes it as the annoying roommate in your mind. Like you step outside and let's say it's cold out and there's a voice in your mind that has an opinion about that. Like it's cold out here. Or you step outside and it's hot and then bam, an opinion. Always opinions, judgments, all that noise in your mind, that mental chatter. That's what he talks about in The Untethered Soul and in The Surrender Experiment. He specifically goes into detail about quieting that voice. Well, so I'm going to kind of refer to that in this episode because my annoying roommate, if you will, or my inner chatter came out a lot during this time of high anxiety for me. It's funny because I think when we would think of someone saying something like, I have these voices talking to me in my mind, it sounds like kind of crazy, right? But for real, like you're the observer. So who's noticing the noise, the chatter in your mind that has an opinion? And that's what Michael Singer talks about in his book. And it's really fascinating because it makes you really take note that you are not your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. You are this higher version and you don't have to believe all of the stuff that comes in, just like you wouldn't take everything that this annoying roommate, if you will, has to say as truth, because that annoying roommate probably has been wrong many times before, right? So we're going to go in a little more detail about that. I remember when I used to teach yoga, I would often say, take the mind trash out. And that's what I'm talking about, that voice that shows up that has something to say that doesn't serve you. And oftentimes when I would teach power yoga, the voice shows up about how hard this is and all this sucks, right? That's what I'm talking about, that annoying roommate that's showing up and has something to say. And you got to decide, are you going to listen or are you not going to listen to it? And I often call it mind trash. So it's taking the mind trash out. So pay attention to that, because what would happen like in your house if the trash just started to accumulate? Your house would start to smell bad, right? You got to like regularly take the trash out and attend to it. You got to see and acknowledge it. So back, I think it was in February of 2020, I did my open water PADI certification training. And this was something that I was really afraid to do. So a little backstory about me is I have identified in the past as somebody who was not comfortable with water, who had a lot of fear around it. Water is just not my thing. I just don't like water, right? That's what the stories that were happening in my mind. That's what I chose to identify with. And I think it came from some experience I probably had when I was younger that was negative with water. And also probably the lack of familiarity with water and not being immersed into it a lot. I think that I always say what you practice, you get really good at. But whatever you do over and over, you program, whatever you make familiar, your mind has less resistance towards. I'm going to talk more about that later. But anyways, water wasn't something that, the comfort of being in the water wasn't something that was programmed into my mind. So I had that story. It wasn't serving me. And Ian, my husband, had encouraged me to get my certification. And he was like, look, you don't even need a dive, but I think that this would just help you feel better in the water so you could enjoy yourself more. And I'm all about working through my stuff and my mind. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do this. So I remember the day, guys, when I drove there, I was sweating so bad. I was living in Beaufort, South Carolina on the coast, and we did the training in Savannah, Georgia, and it was about like an hour drive. And I remember the entire drive there, I was nervous. I was nervous the whole day. I was sweating. And when I got in there, like, they could totally tell I was nervous because you could, you know, you can feel that energy. And anyways, the Lord was so gracious towards me because he put the right people there for me that day. And I had an amazing instructor, and they were just so supportive. And anyways, I got through that training. And then after you're done with that training, you have to do 3 other open water dives to complete the certification. So I did that in the Blue Grotto in Florida. So it was fresh water. And then this past week, it was my first time diving in the ocean upon completion of my certification. So it's a different experience, right? The open ocean compared to the small body of fresh water. And so my mind was having a lot of chatter about it. So my inner, that annoying roommate, it was talking galore. And so the day that we showed up to the dive shop, it was raining. It was not like a day where you're like, this is gonna be a great day to dive. Like, weather-wise, it didn't look like that. And so it was like gloomy, and my mind was making up all these stories about how scared I was, blah, blah, blah. So we get there, and I just assumed that, because that's what the brain does, based on past experiences, I assumed that we would have a guide and they would be like my last instructor and blah, blah, blah. No. So we get there, and after you have your certification, you can just go out with the boat, and the people will guide, tell you, well, not guide you, but they'll bring you to the spot that you're going to dive, and then you get to go in on your own unless you want to pay for someone additional. So we were kind of, as new divers, it was my husband and my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and his aunt and uncle, and we all just got our certification. Well, my husband got his advanced level recently. But anyways, so we all wanted someone to help guide us, so we're like, oh, we'd really like someone. So the captain of the ship offered his son up to be our guide. So there was another awesome gentleman on the ship. His name is Scuba Joe. And Joe wasn't able to go down with us at that time because of numbers, and he had to stay on top. But he's an amazing instructor and guide as well. But anyways, we didn't get him to go with us. It was just the captain's son. So I was assuming that when we got to our dive spot, there was going to be a refresher, like class or something, like real quick, you know, a little comforting thing for us. Let's practice breathing through our respirator, something like that. No, that didn't happen. So right before you get to your dive spot, about 10 minutes out, they say, hey, we're almost there, and you start putting your gear on. That way when you get there, you can jump off and make the most, I think, of your time. So we're putting all of our stuff on, and they're like, okay, let's go. We're jumping off, right? So everybody jumps off, and I jump off, and I just freak out. Like, I didn't even think about how I'm supposed to breathe. I was doing more of like my yoga breath, like in through the nose, out through the mouth. No, when you're diving, it's just through your mouth that you're breathing. So water is getting in my nose, and the waves are splashing, and I just freak out, guys, in a nutshell. Everybody goes down. I'm still at the top freaking out. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go down, you know, and then the current's pulling me away. And anyways, my husband pops up, and he's like, are you okay? Like, what's happening? And my husband, this is the thing you guys gotta know about Ian, is he is so supportive and sweet, and he is so adventurous, and he helps me be such a better person. I'm so blessed, in a nutshell. But anyways, he gets up there, and then I'm feeling bad because I'm like, no, I don't want to ruin your experience. Like, I know you want to go down, and you have to have a buddy system. And he's like, no, it's okay, it's okay. So, like, I'm like, I just need to get out of the water. So then the guide guy pops back up, and he's like, what's going on? I'm like, I'm freaking out. So anyways, at this point in time, we're floating away because the current is taking us away from the boat. And they're like, hey, you guys need to start swimming back. You know, you're going to get taken away. And they're like, go down and start swimming so you don't have to fight the current as much. And I'm like, I ain't going down. So, like, anyways, pulling like this rope, going back, and Ian ends up getting to go back down because there's people right below, which is great for him. So he didn't have to miss out on the fun. So I end up getting up on the ship, and the captain and Scuba Joe were so sweet and like encouraging me as far as like, don't feel bad. You know, they told me stories about their significant others not really liking the water either. And just, I just sat there and I watched all my thoughts come up. That annoying roommate was going to town, like telling me about like, this is, you're just not a water person. And, you know, like just all this stuff was showing up. And I was just sitting there as the observer, like, what do you want to believe, Ange? Like, do you want to believe that? Like, who do you want to be? What would make yourself proud? I'm asking myself all these coaching questions. But when you're in it, it's really hard, you know, to shift out. And that's why I think having a coach is so helpful, even if you have such a high awareness, because it's just hard to work through your own stuff on your own. So I'm sitting there just watching my stuff, and the captain suggests that I get back in and practice again, and Scuba Joe's going to help me and we're going to practice. And I'm just like, no, no, no. And he's like, don't let the horse win. And I was like, I knew that he meant something around like not letting fear win, but I had never heard someone actually say that to me. So I ended up Googling it later on when I got home. And basically that is an old saying. And basically it's like, you know, horses will take the route that requires like the less use of energy and basically the safest route, like most of us humans try to do. And basically you don't let the horse win. Like you decide where you're going to go. So I end up getting back in the water with Scuba Joe. I freak out again, long story short, and I get back on the boat. And then at this point in time, the divers are coming up and they come on the boat and we're driving to the next location. And that's where we're going to do another dive. So they suggest that I try again and with the assistance of somebody else. And I'm like, no, like I'm already freaked out. I'm not going to do this. Like I'm still trying to work through my mind. Right. And after everybody jumps in again for the second time, I'm sitting there and Scuba Joe's like, well, let's just go out and let's just snorkel on top. I want you to see these sharks. There's a bunch of nurse sharks. And guys, like the shark thing didn't really bother me. It was just this water stuff that I had from, you know, this identity that my brain just wanted to hold on to and my past fears and stuff. So anyways, I was like, well, that'd be kind of cool to see the sharks. But I didn't feel comfortable getting in and snorkeling around without like life jacket. I was freaking out. Okay. So anyways, I'm like, well, I put my stuff back on and I figured I would just stay at the top and kind of look at the sharks and stuff. So I get in there and then Scuba Joe decides to release my air so that I can sink down. And he's like basically holding my hand, going down with me. And I start to notice that I'm going down. But at this point in time, I'm already pretty far down. So, and I felt good and comfortable. And I'm like, I was fine. So I get down to the bottom and there was a nurse shark. There were several of them. All right. I got to interject right here real quick. So I'm going to tell you what I did. And I touched this shark. Let it be known that you should not be touching any of the animals in the ocean when you are diving. I know that that is a no-no. I don't know. I was taught that in my training. I have no idea what I was thinking when I got to this point. I think I really just, I don't know. So I apologize. I don't want any mean messages about this. I promise not to touch any more of the sea animals. Okay, we're moving on going forward. And it was just waiting right by the rope. And I was able to just pet the shark over and over for several minutes. And it just brought me so much peace. Like here I am petting the shark at the bottom of the ocean. Like, who are you? And anyways, I felt so peaceful. It's like this nurse shark actually nursed me, brought me peace. It's funny how things like that work. Thank you, God. And I seen the other guide and I went off to see him. And it was really cool because he wrote on his little notepad thing underwater, the waterproof thing, I'm so proud of you. And I just thought like, I'm so proud of me too. So it was a good experience. We ended up coming up and it made the experience even better because it just feels good, I think, even from Scuba Joe's perspective, to be a part of that experience, to help me have that confidence and believe in myself. I know what that's like as a coach when I'm working with people. Like, when they start to believe in themselves and have confidence, it's like such a great feeling. And the fact I get to be a part of that process, and he was able to be part of my process. So I think it made the experience even better for us all. And when I was underwater and Ian saw me, he was so happy. He like lit up like a Christmas tree under the water that I was down there. So that was fun. So anyways, I'm telling you this story because that was an example of me working through my mind, and it wasn't easy to do. Like, I didn't want to get back in the water, and I almost just let myself, like, I was starting to rationalize, like, I was making excuses, like, well, you know, it's okay. You can, that's just not how you are, and, like, it's hard for you. And I hear that all the time with some of my friends and my clients where they want to rationalize and they make up these stories and excuses for why they can't do something. And it's just like, oh, I'm like, excuse alert, like I hear it, you know? But I'm so proud of myself for just working through that. And just, I can't, like, who am I? I just like, do you ever do that? Like, you look back and you're like so amazed at like how far you've come, because it's just, I don't know. I feel like that's happening to me all the time because I'm constantly working through that stuff that shows up in my mind. And I'm just so grateful to have people teach me these things. Like, hey, you are not your thoughts. You get to decide what you want to believe. You get to decide how you're going to show up. So another side note that I want to share with you is, so I'm working with my clients, and a lot of them, I help them transition into doing work that they will find more enjoyable. And a lot of fear comes up with that because there's a lot of identity stuff that shows up around like what they identified as doing before and stepping into the unknown. And the brain naturally freaks out because it doesn't know what's going to happen. And it all it does is it measures what's being lost and versus what is being gained, because it's hard to see what could be gained, which is totally normal, normal response to the brain. So one of the things I advise people to do is to really step out of their comfort zone and start talking to people, talking more about what it is that they desire, and doing it even when they feel afraid. So if you've ever worked with me as a client, you know that I'm a big pusher of you talking to people. And even if you feel dumb, messaging them, reaching out, like, I'm going to push you to do it. So I'm like, I got to practice what I preach. So I reached out to this guy on LinkedIn, and I just shared about how I just was really missing teaching people around like career transition and just like creating a vision for their life and just being in that setting where I get to thrive off of that energy with people. I was like, oh, I miss that. So I reached out to this guy who is also a fellow trainer and a leader in the field of more of a career transition. And it was really interesting because I asked him for his wisdom and around like opportunities that might be out there. I forget how I worded it, but I just remember his response. His response that came back to me was just this: unfortunately, there are not a lot of opportunities right now because of COVID and everything happening. It was something like that. And I remember just sitting there and thinking like, do I want to believe that? Do I want to take that as truth? And I don't, because you know what that is? That is his perception. That's all it is. Because this is the deal. There are a lot of opportunities out there. There are. There's a lot of businesses right now that are actually thriving. And there's a lot of job opportunities. But it's like, what is your brain focusing on? What do you choose to believe as true? Because that's what you're going to find evidence to support. And I was like, uh-uh, buddy, I ain't taking that as truth. Because actually, a lot of people are trying to transition out to find different roles now. There's a lot of opportunity in that field. It was a little disheartening to me because I'm like, oh, I really hope you don't tell other people that. Because I feel grateful for the fact that I am conscious enough to decide what I want to believe. But I know that a lot of people do just take in that as true, you know, from what they've heard from someone, especially a leader in the field. So it was a little disheartening. But anyways, when I thought of him saying this, and this happens a lot, people tell me their perceptions all day long, like they do you. And you got to decide, do you want to believe that as true? Let me tell you a real quick other story. I remember when my husband was looking for a job. This is before we lived in Beaufort, South Carolina. Now we live in the upstate of South Carolina. But I remember we really wanted to live in Beaufort. And recruiters had told my husband, you might as well give up. Like, there's not a lot of turnover there for dentists. So it's, yeah, just move to Florida if you want to live somewhere warm and sunny or whatever. Check that area out instead. And I remember my husband getting really defeated by hearing that. And I had told him, I said, honey, we don't just take that as things as truth. Like, we design our own opportunities in our life. If there's not an opportunity, we're going to make one ourselves. Like, that's how we do things. That's how we roll. You know what I mean? So anyways, I ended up writing out these letters and we sent them out to different people. And I was like, look, I don't care if they don't respond to me because I don't even know you. Like, you don't pay my bills. You know what I mean? Anyways, that's another version of myself that comes out here. So I sent this letter out and basically the office came back and replied and said, like, yeah, actually, we're looking for a dentist. Do you want to have a conversation? We haven't even posted this job. So it was like nice because we got like a bite on one of the letters that I had sent out. So long story short, my husband ended up negotiating for his role. He ended up getting a course paid for that was pretty expensive in addition to his salary increase, which was a big increase for him, and some more time off and some money to move to that location. And the reason why I'm telling you this story is because that was an example of us not just taking in what someone just said as truth, you know, and designing our own opportunities and believing for more. That's why I'm telling you this story. So I want you to check in. What are you believing? What are you taking in as truth? Another way I like to look at this is, like, I think of it as you have this beautiful castle that you live in. And you know how castles have those big castle doors? And oftentimes there's, like, I guess in Disney shows and stuff, there's like the guards outside the door, right? And they kind of determine what comes in the door. And I just picture myself as like this queen. This is the stuff that goes through my mind. I'm like the queen that lives in this castle. And people come, they ride up in to the front of the gates and they want to come in the castle. And then my guards, they call out to me. I don't know why, but my guards have like phones. I still picture them in like old school like armor and stuff, but they still have phones. Anyways, they call me and they're like, hey girl, so-and-so's here and they have this message. And do you want to let them in? So I get to decide if they come in or not. That's up to me. I don't just let anybody in. That's why my guards are hanging out outside. I don't want people coming in, ruining my castle, destroying it, making it smell bad, bringing in crap in there that I don't want in there. You know what I mean? I'm very conscious of that, what comes in. So anyways, I pictured it like that guy from LinkedIn, him saying something like, you know, my guard calls me and he's like, so-and-so says that there's unfortunately no opportunities. Do you want to let him in? I'm like, no, you're not coming in. You stay outside of my village here because we got a good thing going on here. And we have parties all the time and it's really fun in here. Like, that's how I see it in my mind. I don't know if that helps you, but it helps me. So anyways, the point of the story was, I know that you're going through some stuff in your life. And I know that fear and anxiety and stuff shows up. But I want you to stop and think about, what are you thinking? What stories are you making up that's causing you to feel that way? And what do you want to believe? Because you get to choose. Another thing, back to the diving, that came up was, when I was feeling that fear and anxiety, I was like, what is causing you to feel this way? And guys, our mind's always up bringing up images with the stories. So the images I was bringing up in my mind was of me drowning, having a hard time coming back up, people trying to do like CPR on me, like when I'm on the boat. Like, these are the thoughts that were coming up in my mind. And I was like, well, no wonder why you feel so anxious. Look at what you're thinking, what images you're making up in your mind right now. What do you want to think? What do you want to believe? And I was like, I want to think that I find peace in the water. I find peace in the water just like I do when I'm out hiking in the woods. And if anything were to go wrong, if you will, or I have a challenge, I can just come up. I'm not going to be down that far. And I would, like, what images do I want to believe? And I pictured in my mind myself, like, swimming and just feeling peace. And it was better than I imagined it to be. Better. Because I didn't picture myself petting a shark at the bottom of the ocean. That didn't come. But that's how I feel like God works, is, like, he delivers something to you better than what you've imagined. But he asks that you be intentional with your mind it is one of the greatest gifts you've ever been given, is your mind and how powerful it is. And I truly believe that's been given to us, the ability to guide our mind. I like to say it's not about controlling your mind, it's about guiding it. Because you're a human, you're going to have a normal human experience where that primal part of your brain is going to want to keep you safe. So when you're stepping out, it's going to bring up all the stuff that could go wrong. Like, recognize that as like, that's normal. That's not you going crazy. That is normal. And you got to guide it to the direction that you want it to go. Because otherwise, you will just default to staying where you're at and not growing because you're letting fear win. And as that captain said, you're letting the horse win. Like, no, you're the person that's guiding it. You're the person that's riding it and pulling the reins and taking it to where you want to go. So I hope that you got something out of this. I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you so much for listening. And if you found this podcast helpful, please take the time to leave us a review and show us some love, and subscribe if you haven't already. All right, you can connect with me over on my Facebook group, The Intentional Mind Community. I go live there every Wednesday around 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then also you can connect with me on Instagram at Intentional Mind Podcast. All right, go be the leader of your mind today. Have an awesome week. Talk to you soon.